Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Newfound Records Radio Hour with your host, Wayne Tucker.
Thank you for tuning in, folks. I'm Wayne Tucker. Coming up over the next hour, Newfound Records presents a musical profile of three Irish immigrants who came to Newfoundland in 1970 to go to university. They hoped to pay for their education by making a little music on the side. Well, they made their music all right, but their education, well, they pushed that to the sidelines. Stay tuned as Newfound Records profiles Dennis Ryan, Dermot O'Reilly, and my special guest, Fergus O'Byrne. Collectively, they were Ryan's Fancy. And along the way today, you'll hear Fergus recount his boyhood years in Dublin, his gypsy life in Toronto, and his incredible life as a musician, recording artist, and TV star in the 1970s. And now, to get us in the spirit, here are Ryan's Fancy with a selection of reels. Great way to kick off the show, a lively selection of reels by Ryan's Fancy, taken from their album Sea People that they released in 1980. Now, a few months ago, I had the great pleasure of interviewing Fergus O'Byrne, and throughout the show today, Fergus will recall for you his years with Ryan's Fancy, and right now, here he is, looking back on his early life in Dublin.
I was born in Dublin back in 1947. Grew up with five siblings. My father was a tool and die maker, and they put us all into music lessons, and I was the only one who really stuck with it. Mm. Piano lessons. I did piano lessons from the time I was 7 till I was 14, and also sang in the church choir, you know, with my cousin actually in Corpus Christi in Drumcondra. I used to always get the harmony parts because I had I have a natural ability to create harmonies to music. It's, you know, some people have it, some people don't. Some people work at it, and I obviously work at it as well, but I did have that. Even at an early age, I could sing harmony. I stayed at the piano for 7 years, and then my mother, this is the beginning story of my musical career, had me assessed as to what kind of a career I might, you know. She was a very forward-thinking woman in a way, when you think back in the 50s, to take her young son, who was probably struggling in school, which I was, you know, professionally have me assessed as to what I might end up doing as a career, right? And apparently the assessment came back, well, this young fellow is going to be a musician. So my older brother told me once, he said, so your mother then spent the next 14 years trying to dissuade you from being a musician. And then when I was about 14, 15, that was really the big surge of the whole folk movement. You know, Bob Dylan, right. Joan Baez, Kingston Trio, Pete Seeger. And then over in Ireland, the Dubliners and the Clancy Brothers and the beginnings of the Chieftains and all that stuff. And it just sort of grabbed me. I saw the Dubliners perform. And they were primarily a vocal group. Like, of course, you had Barney McKenna and the fiddle player, but primarily they were vocals. And that really, Luke Kelly in particular, I just, you know, he blew me away when I heard him singing. And I still does. My father, in fact, bought a mandolin for the house, and so I took to that. And then we had a guitar there too. So and in fact, myself and my two brothers, we had a band called the Satellite Trio, and I played the T-chest. You know, the old skiffle groups. And the only people we ever played for were our aunts and uncles, and of course they applauded very politely when we made a racket.
What's a T-chest?
A T-chest, it's a great big, it's a great big wooden sort of plywood box, square box, that would ship tea in, loose tea, and you turn it upside down and you put a pole up the side of it, like a broom handle pole, and attach a string to it. And then when you pull it back and forward, you can change the tone of it.
Well.
See, it's almost like a bass, you know. Yeah. Dum, 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 dum. So, yeah, and I just really gravitated towards folk music, songs and singing and playing. And then I guess it was just because the time it was, whenever you went to a party, you didn't play records, you sang. Everybody sort of sang and sung along and just sang folk songs and stuff like that. And even growing up, when we had a party in our house, it would always be, everybody would have a party piece to do. You know, and my uncles would be there, my aunts would be there, and my cousins, and somebody would sing a song. My mother and father used to do a duet of Santa Lucia. Yeah. And I'd play For Elise on the piano, and my sister would maybe do a dance or whatever. So there was always live performance around. So anyway, I just, as I said, gravitated to folk music, and I was known as kind of local ballad singer. I wasn't working professionally at it or singing in any clubs or anything at that time.
You're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour. My name is Wayne Tucker. Today we're profiling the career of the popular Irish trio Ryan's Fancy. My special guest is Fergus O'Byrne, and here he is to tell you about leaving Ireland for Canada in the late 1960s.
And then I emigrated to Canada. I was supposed to go to the States because my parents and my three younger sisters, they had already, in 1966, had moved to the States, to Detroit eventually. And the plan was that I was going to go to Detroit, but the Vietnam War was on. So I ended up in Toronto. So I worked in an office there, and this fella called me up and he says, I heard you play mandolin. Would you be interested in coming down and back me up down in a tavern downtown, a pub downtown? So me being the astute person, I called the Better Business Bureau to check this place out. And they actually said, they advised me it wasn't a really nice establishment. But I went in anyway and ended up being down there and playing a night with this fella, just sitting around a table, singing a few songs, and people were coming in and out. This was a place called the New Windsor House. It was the Windsor House. And then it became the New Windsor House, and now it's known as McVeigh's, because the guy who owns it is Jimmy McVeigh from the north.
Do you remember the name of this fellow you were playing with?
We used to know him as Tony Banjo. And then Gary Kavanagh also showed up. And Gary Kavanagh was part of the original Sons of Erin, as I was. But one thing led to another. We were gathering every Friday night down at this tavern, and eventually there was beer being thrown at us, and then a few dollars started to come. It just sort of gravitated into a situation where I was actually performing, you know, on a Wednesday and a Friday and a Saturday, trying to get up for work the next morning. So being 19 at the time, just 6 months into my job, we decided to quit and just see what we could do musically, and that was it.
So you were getting some paying gigs?
Yeah, we kept getting paid. I can't even remember what we were getting paid, but we were all kind of living together, and we didn't need a lot of money to exist. It was just a lark. We didn't have any business plan as to take over the world as ballad singers. We just take on from day to day doing what we were doing, and no real long-term plan as to where we were going with the music. It was just that it seemed like we were getting a decent following, and that by this time, this was the Sons of Erin. This is Ralph O'Brien, myself, Gary Kavanagh, and we happened to come across Dermot O'Reilly, who was living in Hamilton at the time. Then myself and Dermot and Gary parted company with Ralph, and Ralph kept the band Sons of Erin going, and we had a band, O'Reilly's Men, for a while. Then we ended up in a band called Sullivan's Gypsies. That was Don Sullivan and myself and Dermot and Gary. And that was an entity for a while, and we actually toured Newfoundland with that entity.
Including the Strand Lounge?
Including the Strand Lounge out in Gander, and we did a concert at the Arts and Culture Centre. So eventually, in Toronto in 1970, by this time Dennis had been recruited into Sullivan's Gypsies. Then myself and Dennis and Dermot, who were getting on well together, we decided we were going to quit Toronto and go to Newfoundland, because we had had experience in Newfoundland. We saw that there was probably a market for us to come down and put ourselves through college. The reason we came to Newfoundland was to go to university and play music on the side. And of course we got here, and next thing, here we are on television.
So what year are we talking
about? That was 1970 we started coming down, but 71 was when we moved to Newfoundland, and we drove down in a Volkswagen Bug with two speakers on the top, and just there was just one of those road trips that we played our way down. We ended up playing in Halifax, and then we went on into Antigonish and into Cape Breton, and came across in the boat and ended up in St. John's eventually.
Newfound Records will continue with our Ryan's Fancy special after a short break. Stay tuned, though, because on the other side, you'll hear a rare track that was only released in Ireland.
Are you planning a small social function? Perhaps a baby shower or a birthday party? The Longside Club on Shaw Street can accommodate up to 75 people. They have very competitive rates. If you're interested, please call their office Monday to Friday at 722-4338. Once again, that's 722-4338. 3-8.
Okay, so...
So who's saying from Crookstoke?
Why don't you do it? No, I should do it, I suppose,
Say we're from Crookstoke.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Ted Rowe.
And I'm Neil Rosenberg, and we're with Crooked Stovepipe.
And you're listening to CHMR.
93.5 FM.
We live in two different worlds, dear. That's why we're so far apart.
You're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour on CHMR in St. John's, CJBI on Belle Island, VOBB in Bonbay, BOIR in Cornerbrook, Southern Shore Sounds in Fairland, and CIOE in Lower Sackville, Nova Scotia. Once again, here's your host, Wayne Tucker.
We now continue with our Ryan's Fancy special. The band Sullivan's Gypsies released two LPs, I believe the year was 1970. The first of those LPs had the title The Leprechaun. It was released in Canada and in Ireland, but the Irish release was on a different label and it had a different cover and an extra track, a traditional ditty called The Keeper. So now, here is your chance to hear that rare number, sung by Dermot O'Reilly and accompanied by Fergus O'Byrne on banjo, along with fellow gypsies, Don Sullivan and Gary Cavanaugh.
The keeper did a hunting go. Under his coat he carried a bow, all for to shoot at the merry little Joe. Among the leaves so green, oh, Jackie boy, sing your well,
very well,
lay down,
bow down,
derry, derry down. Among the leaves so green, oh, Timmy, hey down, down,
Timmy, ho down, down,
hey down,
bow down,
derry, derry down. Among the leaves so green, oh. First though she did cross the plain, the keeper fetched her back again. Where she is now she will remain, among the leaves so green, oh. Jackie boy,
master,
sing you well,
very well,
lay down,
oh down,
derry, derry down. Among the leaves so green, oh. Tell me hey down, down,
tell me oh down, down,
hey down,
oh down,
derry, derry down. Among the leaves so green, oh. Boys, sing you well,
very well,
lay down,
bow down,
derry, derry down. Among the leaves so green, oh, Timmy, hey down, down,
Timmy, oh, down, down,
hey down,
bow down,
derry, derry down. Among the leaves so green, oh. The second door she did cross the brook, the keeper fetched her back with his hook.
where she is now, you may go and look among the leaves so green. Oh, Jackie boy,
Buster,
sing you well,
very well.
Hey down,
down,
Derry, Derry down, among the leaves so green. Oh, to me, hey down, down,
to me, down, down.
Hey down,
down,
Derry, Derry down, among the leaves so green.
And there you have it. Sullivan's Gypsies featuring a young Dermot O'Reilly on vocals with The Keeper. By the time their second LP was released, the Gypsies had recruited Dennis Ryan. The album, which was released on the prestigious Columbia label, was simply titled Sullivan's Gypsies. It was originally released around 1970, and it was released a few years later on the Harmony label, but with a different cover and a rather mysterious title, Ryan's Fancy, sung by Sullivan's Gypsies. Fergus O'Byrne explains.
Well, I'll tell you what happened here. Sullivan's Gypsies, this was done by Columbia Records, this Sullivan's Gypsies, with it's got the caravan on the front. It did all right, but what happened then when Ryan's Fancy came on the scene, Columbia Records re-released the album and called it Ryan's Fancy, sung by Sullivan's Gypsies. trying to get in on the market of the success of the Ryan's Fancy band. By this time we were on television, say, and I guess, well, this is Harmony, which is a subsidiary of Columbia Records. I guess some marketing dude in Harmony Records figured, well, gee, you know, we have this Sullivan's Gypsies, but Ryan's Fancy piece is on it by Dennis Ryan. It's a tune. And the funny thing about the album is, you've probably noticed this, is they've got five pictures on the cover, and then under me is Dermot O'Reilly, and under Dermot is Fergus O'Byrne.
Yeah.
So it's, and I got Gary Kavanagh spelled wrong, of course, and they got two N's in Dennis's name. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's just a knockoff, really.
And now here is the tune, Ryan's Fancy. It was composed by Dennis Ryan. I would think Dennis is also playing the fiddle on this one. From the album Ryan's Fancy, sung by Sullivan's Gypsies. Track titled Ryan's Fancy, played by the band Sullivan's Gypsies. You're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour, today a special program featuring the popular Irish trio Ryan's Fancy. Now next, Fergus O'Byrne explains how that tune Ryan's Fancy gave the band Ryan's Fancy its name.
When myself and Dennis and Dermot were considering going as a trio, we were in an agent's office trying to talk to him and just see what are the chances that you can get us a few gigs and stuff. And he said, what's the name of the band? And we really didn't have a name. And, you know, at that time, then there was the Irish Rovers were there, and there were all these bands that were sort of very, very, what would you say, obviously Irish in terms of their name. And we were doing, like, for example, Dermot was doing some Tom Paxton stuff, and I was doing a lot of English folk songs, and we didn't want to call ourselves the Irish this. There was the Irish Rovers, there was the Irish Rebels, there were the Jolly Tinkers, you know, all this really Irishy sort of names to them. So we were bandied around and we were trying to figure, well, how can we come up with a name that would denote Ireland, an Irish connection, but not sort of very blatantly? And we saw this Ryan's Fancy on a piece on the back of the album and said, that's the name, Ryan's Fancy. And of course, Dennis was the, you know, in those days, you called the leader of the band. He was the guy who was doing all the business. And so, you know, in a way, it related to him, but it wasn't his name that we took. It was the name of the tune, Ryan's Fancy.
And now Fergus O'Byrne reflects on his earliest gigs at the Strand Lounge in St. John's, Newfoundland. And he also speaks about the band Ryan's Fancy's amazing popularity and why the trio decided to make St. John's their home base. So do you remember where your first gigs were in St. John's, or maybe
Strand Lounge?
So that was pretty big gig, because at the time that
But we had done the Strand as Sullivan's Gypsies, and right. there was a track record there. Sons of Erin had been in there as well. The Strand Lounge was the only game in town, really. I mean, that's where everybody who was going to university went. Strand Lounge was such a pillar of producing the musicians, you know, the Newfoundland Show Band, Dick Nolan, ourselves, Ryan's Fancy, Sons of Erin, everybody played there. Dublin Corporation. And the only thing I remember was one time, there used to be pictures on the wall of the Strand Lounge. And I remember one time I was out by the door and the bouncer, he saw this fella, young fella, coming towards with a sweater, and his sweater was square. He was after taking one of the pictures off the wall and sticking it up under his sweater. Of course, you know, it was very obvious what he was doing. So
I'd say he had a few in at
but
the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, he had a few in, but it wasn't any trouble. You know, it was just, you know, where are you going with that picture? Oh, then what picture? Kind of thing, you know? The one under your sweater.
That first gig at the Strand, do you remember your very first gig there at all?
Well, actually, kind of, because Sullivan's Gypsies that was the first gig I did there.
Okay, well, I'm thinking of this. Well,
with Ryan's Fancy. We've just sort of morphed into those gigs.
We blended in.
Because we were already an established act. You know, even though the name had changed, we were an established act at the Strand from Sullivan's Gypsies. I mean, when we came as Sullivan's Gypsies, the first time we played there, we were booked in for a week. And the Monday and Tuesday, I remember, was very quiet. By Wednesday, the place was packed. And by the weekend, there were actually people up on the table dancing. And I was just, we were still living in Toronto. And we had a fairly decent following around Toronto. But when I saw this and the knowledge of the Newfoundlanders who knew this music, who knew all the songs and knew all the words of the songs, and I was floored. I had no idea about Newfoundland at all. When I came to Canada, I'd never heard of Newfoundland. I'd no idea where it was or what it looked like or what kind of people lived here or anything. And I was just sort of totally amazed by the reception we got here, and also the friendliness and just the whole welcoming of the band into Newfoundland at Sullivan's Gypsies at the time. That was when myself and Dennis and Dermot kind of had that notion, look, this is a place we can make a living and we can go to school. And that's really the reason we came down here.
Must have been exciting times for a bunch of young people.
Yeah, it was,
doing,
you know,
what you love to do.
And we were, we were all hippies. We had long hair and the whole works and stuff like that. And so that was part of the whole appeal, because we were doing Newfoundland music, but we didn't look like the usual people who were singing Newfoundland music. Yeah. We were sort of young, brash hippies, sort of.
Yeah, and
singing Newfoundland, and very quickly, very quickly embraced the music, very quickly included the songs into our repertoire. And that was part of the secret, I think. Not secret, but that was part of the success of Ryan Stanton, that we so willingly accepted and enveloped the music.
Right.
And it wasn't sort of, well, okay, we learned this music so we'll be accepted. It was just because the songs were great to sing.
Right.
And it was just another part of the repertoire. You know, our repertoire, even though we were three Irish guys, our repertoire was all over the place. I mean, Dermot, of course, was a big Buddy Holly fan. We didn't do Buddy Holly on stage, but he did a lot of Tom Paxton stuff and contemporary writers. Dennis was the tenor and you know, had the old Irish songs. Me, I had Irish, but I also had a great affinity to Newfoundland songs. But also, I had really latched on to English folk songs, like English bands, Steel Ice Band, The Copper Family, all those old English ballads that are so good, and Scottish ballads. So we had a huge eclectic repertoire that we did.
Before long, Ryan's Fancy were filling the seats at the Strand Lounge in St. John's and anywhere else that they played as well. But they needed an LP of their music, something that they could sell to their growing legion of fans at their shows. Once again, Fergus O'Byrne.
The very, very first thing, of course, we did was that album, The Curragh's Rocks, Minstrels and Whiskey. That was recorded in Toronto before we moved to Newfoundland. And the purpose of that was we wanted to have some kind of a product that we could sell. And in fact, the album was recorded in what you would be in those days would have been referred to as a jingle studio. It was 4-track. And so we went in over a couple of nights and put this thing together, and then quickly got it produced, 500 albums. You know, the quality of the recording is not great.
Right.
It is what it is. You know, it's not as good as obviously what we did in later times.
It's still a good listen, I think, for anyone who's interested in a piece of musical history, that's for sure.
Rocky Road to Dublin's on it.
Oh,
and that's
right.
That's one I recorded again with the Drinking Songs album, with the Newfoundland Drinking Songs album. I'm still singing it.
Yeah.
Still singing the Rocky Road to Dublin.
Yeah.
I have this introduction now that every time I sing it now, I say, a very special night for this song and me. This is my 30,000th time singing it.
Yeah.
In the merry month of June, when from me home I started, left the girls of tune so sad and broken heart. I saluted father dear, I kissed me darling mother, drank a pint of beer, me grief and tears, I smothered enough to reap the corn. Life where I was born, I could have stout like horn to ward of ghosts. I got in a pair of brand new brogues, rattling out of bugs, I frightened all the dogs on the rocky road, a double and one to three for five. Hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road, and all the way to Dublin, Wakefield, I'll lead on. In Mullingar that night I rested limbs so weary, started by the light next morning bright and clear. He took a drop of the pure to keep me heart from sinking, that's the paddy's cure. When there he's on to drink and the sea, the lasses smile, laughing all the while at me curious styles with such a heart. A bubble and asked if I was hired, wages I required till I was almost tired. On the rocky road, a double and one to three for five. Hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road, and all the way to Dublin, Wakefield, I'll leave her. In Dublin next to ride, I thought it's such a pity to be so soon deprived of view of that fine city. Thought I'd take a stroll all among the quality bundle, it was stolen in a neat locality. Something crossed me mind, quickly looked behind the bundle, could I find upon me stick a woman inquiring for the rogue, told me that me brogue it wasn't much in vogue. On the rocky road, a double and one to three for five. Hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road, and all the way to Dublin, Wakefield, I'll lead on. From there I got away, me spirits never failing, landed on the quay just as the ship was sailing. Captain at me roared, said that no room had he. Then I jumped aboard a cabin found for Paddy. Down among the pigs sang some funny rigs, I danced some hearty jigs. The water round me bubbling when a folly head, wish myself was dead or better far instead. On the rocky road, the double and one to three for five. Hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road, and all the way to Dublin, Wakefield, I'll leave her. the boys of Liverpool. When we safely landed, called myself a fool. I could no longer stand it, blood began to boil. Temper I was losing, power all there in soil. Should they began abusing the army, so says I, shillelagh, I let fly. Galway boys were by the saw, he was a hobbling, though with a loud hooray. Joining the affray, we quickly clear the way. On the rocky road to Dublin, once the tree for five. Hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road, and all the way to Dublin, whack for lally-da.
That was Fergus O'Byrne singing what was to become one of his signature songs, Rocky Road to Dublin. That's from their rarest album, Carra's Minstrels, Rocks and Whiskey, that was released in 1971. This is Newfound Records, and I'm Wayne Tucker. We're profiling the group Ryan's Fancy on today's program. Now, Ryan's Fancy's second LP, they released it in 1971 on the Marathon label. It was recorded live at the Black Knight Lounge in Halifax, Nova Scotia. But Fergus was never pleased with the poor quality of that recording, and he told me he doesn't listen to it. The band's first real studio album was its third LP. It had the title Dark Island. Here's Fergus.
The Dark Island was the first real sort of studio album that we did. Well, the Curve Rocks and Minstrel, that was done in Toronto, but then the Black Knight Lounge one, and then the Dark Island was the very first studio one we did. And most of the stuff we recorded, all the stuff we recorded, was recorded in Halifax.
And the Audette label.
And the Audette label, yeah. There was a big, huge studio over there that was that we used.
Yeah, that's a lovely song, the Dark Island.
Oh, of course, Dennis, tremendous song, yeah.
Away to the westward I'm longing to be, where the beauties of heaven unfold by the sea, where the sweet purple heather blooms fragrant and free. On a hilltop high above the Dark Island. Oh, I love my childhood, I'm dreaming of thee. As the steamer leaves Oban and passes Tyree, soon I'll capture the magic that lingers for me. When I'm back once more upon the Dark Island. So gentle the sea breeze that ripples the bay, where the stream joins the ocean and young children play. On the strand of pure silver I'll welcome each day, and I'll roam forevermore the Dark Island. Oh, I love my childhood, I'm dreaming of thee. As the steamer leaves Oban and passes Tyree, soon I'll capture the magic that lingers for me. When I'm back once more upon the Dark Island, true gem of the Hebrides bathed in the light of the midsummer dawning that follows the night. How I yearn for the cries of the seagulls in flight as they circle high above the dark island. Oh, I love my childhood, I'm dreaming of thee.
as the steamer leaves Oban and passes Tyree. Soon I capture the magic that lingers for me. When I'm back once more upon the dark island.
Oh boy, you just heard the magnificent tenor vocals of Dennis Ryan as he sang that beautiful Scottish song, Dark Island. Okay, time for a wee break, but stay right where you are, because on the other side, you're going to hear a track from the Ryan's Fancy album that Fergus O'Byrne liked least, but turned out to be their best-selling LP of all.
Hey, Jill Power here. Make sure you tune in for my morning show every Monday morning from 8 to 9:30, where I'll get your week started out right on your favorite radio station, 93.5 CHMR FM.
The Student Volunteer Bureau, SVB, is a resource center and referral service for students interested in getting involved on campus and volunteering in the community. The SVB is a by students, for students operation that aims to foster and enhance the quality of student life at Memorial by promoting volunteerism on campus and in the community. Drop by UC4001 for more information or check mon.ca/volunteer. That's UC4001 for more information, or check mon.ca/volunteer. This announcement has been a public service of 93.5 CHMR FM.
Hi, I'm Bob McDonald, and you're listening to 93.5 CHMR FM.
Whatever happened to the gold in the water? Swam into our nets and kept our spirits strong and free.
You're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour. Each week, your host, Wayne Tucker, spins the music of Newfoundland and Labrador's pioneer recording artists. The show originates from the CHMR studios at the campus of Memorial University in St. John's. In addition to being heard on CHMR, Newfound Records is also pleased to be heard on VOBB Bombay, CJBI Bell Island, BOIR Cornerbrook, Southern Shore Sounds in Fairyland, and CIOE in Lower Sackville, Nova Scotia. Be sure you check out the program's companion website. The address is newfoundrecords.ca. Sit back and enjoy the most recent programs there whenever you want to. And you can find Newfound Records on Twitter and on Facebook. Send your email to wayne@newfoundrecords.ca. We now return to Newfound Records with your host, Wayne Tucker.
Thank you, Rosemary. We now continue with our Ryan's Fancy musical tribute. My special guest is Fergus O'Byrne. In 1972, Ryan's Fancy released the LP that would become its all-time bestseller. Here's Fergus.
The next album would have been the Newfoundland Drinking Songs.
And that wasn't that wasn't our decision to call it, because not Newfoundland Drinking Songs. There's hardly any Newfoundland. Well, there are some Newfoundland songs on it, but it's an eclectic mix of Irish and Scottish and stuff like that. But at the time, Big John Murphy at the OCM, he wrote the liner notes for it. He suggested, I think we were just going to call it Drinking Songs. And he said, no, call it Newfoundland Drinking Songs. It'll have a lot more appeal. And that was actually, Newfoundland Drinking Songs turned out to be the biggest seller of all the albums, even though it's the one I least like. It's not as technically as good as other stuff we did.
On the night that Paddy Murphy died, it's a night I'll never forget. All the boys got roaring drunk and some ain't sober yet. As long as the whiskey was passing round, everyone was feeling gay. Down a lyric came with the bike lights and the music for to play. Mrs. Murphy sat in the corner, pouring over her drink.
They'll carry out his pal, the dirty rotten thieves. They step right into the anteroom with a bottle of whiskey sole and place the bottle on the cork to keep the liquor cold. Well, that's how they show their respect for Paddy Murphy. That's how they show their honour and their pride. They said it was a sin and a shame and a wink that one another. Everything in the wake has went the night Pat Murphy died. At 3 o'clock in the morning, some dirty blue-eyed scamp rode upon the coffin lid, here lies a tramp. They stopped the clock so Mrs. Murphy couldn't tell the time. It was a quarter after three, they told her it was nine. Well, the whole damn crew got merry and they didn't care a wreck. Woo! If Mrs. Murphy or the whole damn gang were dead, of all the drinks I ever saw, it made me shiver with fear. When they took the ice right off the cork and placed it on the beer. Well, that's how they showed the respect for Paddy Murphy. That's how they showed their honour and their pride. They said it was a sin and a shame and a wink at one another. Everything in the wake has went the night Pat Murphy died.
A rousing number there by Ryan Svensy. That was The Night Paddy Murphy Died, taken from their best-selling album Newfoundland Drinking Songs, released in 1972. Now, in the early and mid-1970s, and later even, Fergus, Dermot, and Dennis led an incredibly full, exciting, and fast-paced lifestyle. Not only did they perform in Newfoundland, but they also frequently brought their live shows to the Maritime Provinces. And as well, they continued to release albums, and soon they found themselves on television. In fact, they starred in two separate TV series simultaneously. Here's Fergus.
Jack Kellen, who was a producer from Ontario. CBC at the time were looking to regionalize, as opposed to bringing everything back into
right,
Toronto.
Right.
But the idea was that they were spreading out. CBC wanted to spread out, and they wanted to establish local shows in various parts of the country, and Jack Kellum had been given the mandate to come to Newfoundland and create a show out of Newfoundland that would eventually become a maritime as well, cover the maritimes as well.
What year are we now?
That would be 72, 73. So Jack Kellum met us. In fact, he just happened to be at a gig that we were doing in the Legion down on the boulevard. He approached us and we chatted about it, and this is his idea, and you know, we had meetings with him then and just sort of flushed out the idea that we would, and he as a producer would, explore Newfoundland music through our eyes, kind of thing. We initially were doing it in the studio. We would invite studio guests in. It was working all right, but it wasn't working as well as we had hoped it would, because bringing people into the studio was bringing them out of their environment. So the idea then was to go to their environment. Wilf Wareham and Al Pittman were hired on as researchers. And they would sort of go out in advance. We'd suggest, you know, they knew of people and we knew of people, and they would go out ahead of time. And we would go on the road with CBC, but we would also have gigs lined up. Say for example, we were going out on a block of shows. Okay, so over a period of 2 weeks, we're going to do three shows. We would set up, you know, concerts and shows and pubs and this and that and the other in between the time that the shows were being done. You know, we'd film during the day and maybe go and do a gig that night. Or,
all right.
Yeah, no, constantly busy all the time.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we would do the gig and CBC would film part of it. First of all, of course, they were done in Newfoundland, dealing with people in Newfoundland. But then we expanded out into the Maritimes. So we went to, you know, Nova Scotia, Anaganish, and Prince Edward Island, and New Brunswick. We did several seasons up there too. So really, you know, over a period of 8 years, we were a television band as much as we were a live band. Television was a huge success for us. And at the same time, in around the same time as doing those CBC shows, we were also flying to Hamilton to record shows with Tommy Makem. There's a whole series of shows called Tommy Makem and Ryan Svensy that we did with Manny Pitson, who used to work with CBC, and he was an independent producer. It was never shown here in Newfoundland. The reason being because it was recorded by CHCH and syndicated with CTV. But because Ryan's Fancy was on CBC here, NTV didn't show it here.
Right.
But that show was shown in Ireland and Australia, in parts of England. We'd fly to Hamilton. Fly to Hamilton for 2 weeks, and we recorded live in an Irish club up there. It was the Irish Association of Hamilton. We would spend 2 weeks there, and we would do 4 to 6 shows in 2 weeks. Very hectic. Very, very hectic.
From the compact disc, Songs from the Shows, released in 2001, here's Fergus O'Byrne and Ryan's Fancy with a traditional song from Prince Edward Island, As Johnny Went Ploughing.
As Johnny went ploughing for Cairn one day, the land it was hard and the field it was lay. In the month of November the weather was cold, and Cairn himself for to plough was too old. Laddie tindy aye, laddie tindy aye day. Johnny went to the plough and took charge of the team. Not being used to the engine, she went to the beam. Well, be gorrah, says Johnny, if Cairn comes now. And large drops of sweat fell from Johnny's broad brow. Laddie tindy aye, laddie tindy aye day. Johnny picked up an idea that he'd leave all and run. But in turning around, he saw Cairn had come. Oh, Johnny, dear Johnny, take courage and try. And in a strange place, don't be any way shy. Laddie tindy aye, laddie tindy aye day. With a step like a major, Cairn walked to the plough. I'll take her myself, or you'll murder the team. He laid there up with the plough being a brute. He lay in again and took hold of a root. Laddie tindy aye, laddie tindy aye day. Johnny hauled up the line and they took in the slack. But the plough guide got stuck, not a foot would she make. Cairn cursed and he swore and he looked at the sun. And Johnny, he thought his last hour had come. Laddie tindy aye, laddie tindy aye day. Cairn went to give Johnny a bit of advice, telling him how the land could be treated so nice. While rising a hill, you must bend your backbone and shut your eyes tight when you're striking stone. Laddie tindy aye, laddie tindy aye. Then down in the hollow, be sure don't forget to raise up your arms and to straighten your neck. And keep your feet moving and starting the team, one after the other, or lest you stand still. Laddie tindy aye, laddie tindy aye. Well, Johnny took heed to what Cairn had said. He ploughed all along for the whole of the day. The sun it was wide and the ploughing was done, and Johnny would laugh when he'd look at the sun. Laddie tindy aye, laddie tindy aye.
By the early 1980s, after 12 years together, Ryan's Fancy as a band had run its course. Once again, Fergus O'Byrne.
We were to the point where we could have continued on doing what we did, but the television thing had faded out. And, you know, we were still booking shows. We could have booked shows. We could have continued on doing the circuit. But it was just that we were all at a point where we wanted to do different things.
Right.
Dennis wanted to go into finance. I don't think he wanted to be on the road anymore. Dermot was interested in the studio. We were just at the point where, you know, let's quit while we're ahead.
Because you've been at it 12 years by
then. At it 12 years, which is not really a long time in the, you know, you hear bands 20, 25 years. But we had put a lot of work into those 12 years. I mean, as I said, we were on the road 7-8 months of the year.
Right.
You know, not all continuously, but by the time you'd add it all up, we were away 7-8 months of the year, and it was a lot of time away. We did a whole year of farewell gigs around the Maritimes and went to Ireland for one last time for a rake of gigs as well, and then just called it quits.
You're listening to the Newfound Records Radio Hour. I'm Wayne Tucker. Now, in 2004, the East Coast Music Association presented Ryan's Fancy with a Lifetime Achievement Award. Once again, Fergus O'Byrne.
When it was decided we were being awarded that, a producer got a hold of us and wanted to know would we perform. And, of course, we said, really, we don't want to do a full performance. It just wasn't on the cards. But I said, look, give us the award and we'll break into an impromptu chorus of a song, the Tyree Love song. And that's what we did that night.
Harry, Harry, oh my bunny, wee girl. Harry, Harry, oh my fair one. Will you come away with me, love, to
Fergus O'Byrne continues to be active on the Newfoundland music scene. He began performing with Jim Payne 20 years ago, and they continue to maintain an active performance and recording schedule. Here's a tune from their most recent CD entitled How Good Is My Life. This is Fergus with the traditional The Liverpool Pilot.
Oh, Liverpool, England is a place I love dear. I spent all me money on whiskey and beer. I spent all me money, what could I do more? I was forced to take ship and go sail from the shore. And it's row, 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 bullies, row, for the Liverpool pilot, she have us in tow. It's early next morning, we were out for a start. We packed all our goods in an old baggage cart and straight to the landlord to get a last glass. Then aboard of a ship was where sailors were cast. And it's row, 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 bullies, row, for the Liverpool pilot, she have us in tow. One day as our ship, she was calming her line, our captain was cursing cause he had no wine. Set tight sheets and halyards, let none of them slack, for the flying aloft from her main topsail deck. And it's row, 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 bullies, row, for the Liverpool pilot, she have us in tow. And our bosun all day going through, just looking for work for us sailors to do. Unreef your jib halyards, he loudly did roar, and it's go aloft, sailor, or we'll put you ashore. And it's row, 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 bullies, row, for the Liverpool pilot, she have us in tow. Rounding Cape Heeny, I'll never forget, each time I looks back and I thinks on it yet. With the boats driving under and her sailors all wet, she rates 12 an hour with her stern lines all set. And it's row, 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 bullies, row, for the Liverpool pilot, she have us in tow. Oh, now we are out and for home we will steer, to our wives and our families, the ones we love dear. Drink a health to our captain and pilot as well, but our mate and our bosun, I wish him in hell. And it's row, 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 bullies, row, for the Liverpool pilot, she have us in tow. And it's row, 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 bullies, row, for the Liverpool pilot, she have us in tow.
Well, we've run out of time for our show this week. I hope you enjoyed our Ryan's Fancy special. I want to thank Fergus O'Byrne for the great interview and for providing some of the music that you heard today. You can find more information about Ryan's Fancy on the internet at ryansfancy.com, and while you're at it, be sure to check out Jim Payne's website, singsonginc.ca. In fact, you can purchase music there by Jim Payne and Fergus O'Byrne right from that site. We take you out now with a song that Ryan's Fancy often close their live shows with, Last Night I Had the Strangest Dream. Until next week.
Thanks for tuning in to the Newfound Records Radio Hour. The show was recorded at the CHMR Studios, Memorial University in St. John's, Newfoundland. It was researched, produced, and hosted by Wayne Tucker. Send your emails to wayne@newfoundrecords.ca. I'm Rosemary Thorne, inviting you to tune in again next week for more rare music from the pioneer recording artists of Newfoundland and Labrador. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Saturday.
Last night I had a strangest dream I never dreamed before. I dreamed that men had all agreed to put an end to war. I dreamed I saw a mighty room, and the room was filled with men, and the paper they were signing said they'd never fight again. And when the paper was all signed and a million copies made, they all joined hands and bowed their heads, and grateful prayers were said. And the people in the streets below were dancing round and I had the strangest dream I never dreamed before. I dreamed that men had all agreed to put an end to war. That night I had the strangest dream I never dreamed before. I dreamed that...
There it is.